Would you bow your head with me, please? Father, thank you for just the opportunity to worship today. I just pray that nothing would come out of my mouth that you haven't put there. Pray that the Holy Spirit would be a filter in the ears of those who hear so that they hear only your words this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I was about six. And I was staying with my aunt. And I believe that my parents were just working, but school was out that day, so there was no school. And so I was staying with my aunt, who lived just above us on the hill. And I had a cousin there that was just 6 months older than me. And so we had a lot of fun together. And the day went on through to the afternoon, and I don't remember exactly what the problem was, but my aunt spoke harshly to me. Not that that was unusual, but today I took it the wrong way. And I just said to my six-year-old self, I don't have to put up with this. I don't have to put up with this. I'm going to take off and go to another relative's house that we stayed at sometimes. So we just lived, like I said, above, below them on the hill. So I walked down to my house, and I got this tiger head thing that I had that had my pajamas stuffed inside. So it was kind of like a pillow. So I said, okay, I'm ready. I'm taking off now. So I knew the way. You know, I started walking, and it was probably the total distance to where I was going from where I was wasn't quite 2 miles. So I walked up to the main road. Center Street was the main street. And I walked down Center Street until I got to where the bowling alley was on my right. And I knew that's where I needed to turn left. And so I turned left there, and I walked up that street, and I turned one street before I should have. And I walked down this street and walked and walked and walked. And then I came to like a dead end where the street ended, and there was another street of houses going this way. And there shouldn't have been. There should have been no street there. There should have been no houses there. And I turned around and looked behind me, and I looked back around, I looked this way, and I looked that way, and I was not where I was supposed to be. So I walked back down the street a little ways, and I very quickly realized, no, nothing looked familiar that way. So I went back up to where I was, and went up one side of the street, and nothing happened. I came back to the other side of the street, and then I did what they told little kids to do if they got lost back in those days. Look for a policeman. Well, I looked one way, and I looked the other way for a policeman. There was no policeman. So I sat down on the curb. I said, well, I'm just going to sit here until a policeman comes. Any of you who've grown up in a small town know that there's a lot of the regular streets in a small town without a lot of crime that the policemen don't just patrol. And this was one of those. So after sitting there for quite a while, I thought, you know, I don't think a policeman's going to come. And so I walked right up to a house that was right there, and I knocked on the door. And a lady answered the door. And, you know, she said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Well, yes, I'm lost." "Well, what's your mother's name?" And I said, "My mother's name is Audra Tatum. My father's name is Robert Tatum." And you have to realize that where I grew up, everybody knew the Tatums. My father and my grandfather had pretty much built the town. In fact, the area there where I was walking was called Tatum Plaza. And so she thought, "It's probably a safe bet to call Tatum Construction, and I'll bet there's somebody there that knows this little boy and can come pick him up." And so the woman called Tatum Construction, and sure enough, she was put in contact with my mother, who came to get me. And I was no longer lost. I was sore for a while, but I wasn't lost. The Bible is full of stories beginning right in the very beginning of people who found themselves in a lost place. And sometimes you're lost, like in Ken's story this morning. Sometimes you're lost because you were hiding. And in his case, he couldn't get out. So that's kind of like being lost. And here in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve ate from the fruit of the tree, in verse 8 it says, "They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees." And God came looking for them and called out, "Where are you?" And you know the answer. I heard your voice and I was scared because I was naked. When my kids were little, especially when my oldest boy was little, he used to like to play hide and go seek. And we'd play hide and go seek in the house, but he couldn't deal with suspense. Did not like suspense. And so he'd go hide and I'd go looking for him, and I'd say out real loud, "I wonder where Ethan is." And time after time after time, he'd jump out and say, "Here I am." He couldn't stand that suspense of being looked for until I, you know, might find him and surprise him. It wasn't too many years after the hide and go seek episode that we had another two children. And when my second son was about 4, we took a family trip to Disneyland. Now, Disneyland is just like way more fun when you have a little kid to take, isn't it? You know, those of you who are adults, you know, it's still okay when you go to Disneyland, but it's not like... It kind of loses some of its magic when you're an adult, doesn't it? But here we were. We had several kids with us, had some aunts along. I don't believe there were any cousins, so it was just my three kids and the aunts. And we decided to go over to Tom Sawyer's Island. I don't even know. I haven't been there for a long time. I don't even know if there's a Tom Sawyer's Island anymore. I mean, that was so low tech. You know, now I think everything's got to have lasers and whatever. But we went over to Tom Sawyer's Island, and those of you who have been there know that on Tom Sawyer's Island they have Tom Sawyer's caves. So here we go through the cave, and I got to say that by this time it was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and we had started in the morning. We'd eaten breakfast early. And so, number one, we were hungry. Number two, it had been a while since, you know, we'd made a trip to the bathroom, so several of us were in need of going to the bathroom. So we thought, you know, as soon as we finish here, we'll head out and we'll go to the bathroom and we'll find something to eat. And so we started going through Tom Sawyer's caves, and we went this way and we went that way, and we got out to the other side, and all of us were there except Colt. Colt's 4 years old. So I turn around and go back into the cave, which was when I discovered that the way we went is not the only way you could go. And so I came out that other way, and I didn't see him, and I told the others that he was lost. Now, in order to really experience my feelings at the time, you need to know what was happening in Southern California around that time. Children were being snatched off the streets. In fact, one child disappeared from her parents' side in a Home Depot store. And as soon as they realized that the child was missing, they actually, security closed the doors to the Home Depot store, and they searched the store. They found the child in a bathroom with the person who'd picked him up. That person had already changed their clothes and cut their hair to disguise them. So this is the background now to where we were with this 4-year-old of ours missing. And we just kind of talked together and grumbled and said, all this had to happen when we're hungry. Who believes that? We forgot all about being hungry. There was no idea about being hungry anymore. There was no remembrance of needing to go to the bathroom anymore. The only thing that we had was focus on finding Colt. We spread out a little bit to look for him, and I just happened to look up because there were different heights of this thing, and there I see him running across the top, crying, you know, crying out because he was scared that he was lost too. But we found him, and it didn't take us too long to find him. Now, there's two points that I'd like to get you to take from that story. One is God's single-mindedness when it comes to looking for us when we're lost. Our scripture this morning, Luke 19:10, it says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And God does this with a single-minded focus. We are his number one concern. And bringing us to his side is his number one concern. The other point that I want to get from this same story is the single-minded focus we had in searching. And the Bible also says in Jeremiah, "You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart." When finding that relationship with him is your laser focus, and other things just kind of disappear into the background of things that are important, they just kind of fall away. There's another story in the Bible, a really unique story, and it was put there very, very, very deliberately by God. So I'd like for you this morning to turn with me to the book of Hosea. Right after Daniel, right before Joel. How many of you ever wanted to be a prophet? Anybody ever said, you know, I read these things about the prophets in the Bible, and I really would like to be a prophet. When you see some of the things that God asked prophets to do, you know, it very quickly could change your mind. I mean, he had one of the prophets walk around naked for a year. He had another prophet lay on one side and not move from that side for about a year. Prophets were, of course, abused by everybody. But here's one of the great stories in Scripture. God says to Hosea in the second verse, "Go find a daughter of harlotry and marry her. Harlotry is not a word we use much nowadays. Go find a prostitute and make her your wife. This is a big object lesson for the people of Israel, because God had told them over and over and over again in all of the major prophets and in multiple ways that they had committed adultery. That they had forsaken the vows and the commitments that they had made to God and were now running off and seeking other gods. And so on multiple occasions, God says to the people, you're committing adultery. Now he's making this prophet go out and find a prostitute to marry. And of course, the message was fairly clear. The message was from God, even though you've strayed, even though you commit adultery, I'm going to bring you to me. I'm going to claim you again. But that's not the end of the story. They had some children. And then you don't actually get the part of the story where she leaves to go back to being a prostitute. It doesn't give you that in Scripture. But she does. So God says to Hosea again in chapter 3, go again and love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love for the Lord for the children of Israel. And Hosea has to go out and find her and actually buy her back from where she was and bring her back home to live with him. Now, can you read this story? I can't read this story without recognizing that there is no one too sinful out there for God to reach. I can't read this story without recognizing that regardless of how sinful people are, regardless of what they've done with their life, God's desire, his focus, who he is to seek them and find them and bring them to him. And then I believe it's in the 7th chapter. I'm not going to find it right now. But later on in this, the book of Hosea, God actually calls out and he says, how can I give you up? How can I give you up? My love is so great for you that even though you've wandered away and you've wandered away and you've wandered away, I can't give you up. It's a message that God is giving to each of you this morning. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care whether you think that you're the chief of sinners. I don't care if you were just dragged here this morning against your will. I can tell you that regardless of what's gone on in your life, God wants you to come to him. And when you turn and come to God, he's waiting there with open arms. People often use the stories from Luke chapter 15 the story of the prodigal son, the story of the lost coin, to talk about this lost and found concept. You know, the coin was lost and it didn't know it was lost. You know, the sheep was lost and it probably knew it was lost but didn't know how to find its way back. And the son was lost and knew he was lost, but he also knew what he needed to do to turn around and come back. But what persuaded him to turn around and go back was the memory of how his father treated even the servants in the household. God is waiting for you this morning with open arms. He wants to invite you back into the fold. He doesn't care how bad you've been. And I'll just throw this in there too. Most of you have been parents, are parents. How many of you, when you have disciplined your child, you've had that heart-to-heart talk with them, how many of you are honestly expecting that they are never going to do anything bad again? God knows us. He knows that we're but dust. We're like Gomer. We can agree to come to God and live with God and want Him to live with us, but something comes up and it pulls us away. And God is waiting to take us back. God is actively looking for us, finding a way, trying to find the right words to say to us, to get us to understand how much He loves us. I'm sure each of us know someone who's lost. Maybe they're deliberately lost. Maybe they tried to get lost like the prodigal son. But they need to hear the message that God is waiting for them with open arms. They need to hear the story of Hosea and Gomer. They need to hear Jesus' words that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Two of our songs today, one of them said, bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. The other one said, seeking the lost. In both of those songs, it talks about we as believers helping in this task as Jesus seeks the lost. The lost people that you know, how are they going to hear this message unless you tell them? Jesus told His disciples, freely you have received, freely give. Jesus is calling you this morning to come back from being lost. And he's calling you this morning also to reach out to somebody else and tell them that Jesus is waiting. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you. Your word tells us that the sacrifice for our salvation was planned and made before the foundation of the world. Lord, we truly don't understand love like that. It's not anything we've witnessed on this earth. Only in your word, in the life of Jesus, have we seen that kind of love. Just want to pray for each of the people in this congregation this morning that if they've wandered from you, they're feeling lost, that they might hear your voice and come home. I want to pray for the other people in this congregation who have a walk with you right now, but they know somebody else out there that is not walking with you. We want to pray that you would use them to reach out to those other lost people and bring them in and show them that picture of you with your arms open wide to accept them once again. We just pray that no one would leave the church today carrying that burden on their hearts that they're lost, too lost for you to find, too lost to come back. May everyone know that they are loved completely by you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, may the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit be present with all of you. In Jesus' name. Amen.